Welcome, everyone, to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is installation, configuration, and first file transfer of WebSphere MQ Managed File Transfer 7.5 in Windows and Linux. Today's presenters are Anhil Rivera and Purnell Mehta. Anhil is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS client of WebSphere MQ and WebSphere application server. Purnell is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for distributed software, FTE. He has expertise in various product areas such as installation, configuration, Java, JMS, clients, FTE, MFT, etc. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Purnell.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy, for a kind introduction. Let's go to slide number two, please. Okay, so here in the agenda, as you can see, there is a two parts. Part one will be discussed by myself, and part two will be discussed by Anhil Rivera. So in part one, we're going to be discussing about the introduction to WebSphere MQ MFT, installation of MQ MFT code, servers, and tools, topology to ensure full connectivity between the queue managers for MFT. And in part two, Anhil will be discussing about the configuration steps, starting and listening agents, loggers, and MQM Explorer. Further, we're going to be discussing about the testing in a single file via MQ Explorer and via command line. Okay, let's go to slide number three, please. This is slide number two. Yes. Okay, so in part one, we're going to be discussing about what is MQMFT, why use it, what's new on MQ7.5, that's when it becomes MQMFT, how to set up of MQ, and then we're going to be discussing about the installation of MFT. And further, we're going to be doing setup of end-to-end MQ install and configuration. Okay, let's go to slide number four, please. Okay, so as you can see, so what is MQMFT? So MQMFT stands for WebSphere. MQ Managed File Transfer. What it does is basically transfer the file between system in a managed and auditable way, regardless of a file size or operating system use. As you can see here in a diagram, there is two agents on left hand side and right hand side. They are connected to the agent queue manager. There is also a big gray cloud where there is a command queue manager and coordination queue manager, and everything runs on an MQ network. All the queue managers are connected via sender-receiver channels. We're going to be discussing all of them in later on. And as you can see, there is a command queue manager talking to a terminal, or we can talk to via MQ Explorer, and there's also a database logger or a file logger. We're going to be discussing all of them a little bit later on. Let's go to slide number five, please. So why MQMFT? We all familiar ourselves with FTP. You know, when we're sending a file, transferring a file, we use all every time a queued FTP or a FileZilla or different kind of tools. But not all the tools have an advantage compared to what MQMFT offers. Some of the advantages are reliability, security, obviously security is a big concern these days, automation, visibility, flexibility, and integrated. Integrated in the sense it can easily communicate to the different applications such as Data Power, IIB or Message Broker, Tivoli, and some of the other advanced functionality of MFT where we can configure with a protocol bridge or a connect direct bridge. for example, in protocol B bridge, the MFT talks to other partners, FTP server or SFTP server. So, you know, if they don't have a MFT setup, they can we can communicate via other partners or other different corporation via using protocol bridge. Yeah, as you can see here in the picture, there is a MQ, obviously backbone running on it, a different kind of box where you can do a file transfer or data transfer, and further we can do the configuration. A lot of customization can be done, and we can track all of them, and if we need, everything can be audited. Okay, let's go to slide number 6. Okay, so as I was discussing, you know, compared to FTP, what are the other advantages? In typical big corporation, if they were to have just the FTP servers and FTP agents, and if they have many department or a lot of internal communication, then it may look like on the picture on the right-hand side. Not necessarily that would be the case on MQMFT. And some of the further advantages are we can do any file size transfer from kilobyte to terabyte. Reliable delivery, leveraging MQ. So, you know, one and only one-time delivery of a message. So no duplication of file or file get lost or none of the concern which we always face in a regular FTP. Again, guaranteed 100% integrity, full logging for audit purposes. Here, like, for example, Sharpness, Oxley, or somewhere if you wanted to do audit of it, if there's a file transfer or something needs to be audited by different department or something, everything can be logged and we can check back and go back and find out what happened. High performance, vector set conversation. So, you know, transferring a file from a Windows to the COS or vice versa, or a specific language from Chinese to English, everything can be set up at agent level. Very structured industry standard SSL security. Again, you know, security concern, it's just SSL. Further XML scripting, or we call it Apache End scripting. It's also been done, and so a lot of batch file or a lot of automation can be accomplished doing that. Further, multi-purpose solution, so not only a file but a message can be transferred back and forth. Many platforms from COS to Windows and different ones in between. Multi-instance, so failover of capability of failover. We're going to be discussing later on that when there is an agent, in order to the continuous transfer, the agent queue manager has to be up and running. But if agent queue manager were to interrupt or stop, the transfer stops. So in this case, if you have a failover, then you just other node take over and transfer continue to occur. And there was earlier presentation on MQFTE, which you can click on that link and you can look about that. Okay, let's go to slide number 7, please. So who are some of the major players of MQMFT? As you can see on a small puzzle here, there is an agent queue manager, coordination queue manager, and command queue manager. Agent is a process which transfer to and from agent. Agent queue manager is a obviously it hosts the agents. Coordination queue manager, coordination, it's basically coordinating. So which basically a queue manager that broadcasts audit of a file transfer and act as a central location. You may also relate it to in a regular MQ, there is a clustering and there is a full repository. So it may act in a similar manner. And command queue manager, it is command, so it takes command from a agent. So a queue manager that used to connect to MQ network, and you can issue MQMFT commands. In this scenario, like I said earlier, the agent queue manager has to be up and running in order to do the transfer. If something were to happen on a coordination queue manager, the agent transfer doesn't halt. It just continues to happen. But if you something changes were to made in a monitoring or something, they may not take effect until the coordination queue manager back up online. And similar for the command queue manager, if they were to stop, the new command may not be taken by agents, but otherwise it would continue to work. And let's go to slide number 8, please. So what's new on MQMFT 7.5, and the latest version we have is 7.503. So new in the sense it used to be MQFTE, file transfer edition, and now it's MQ managed file transfer. That's a new name. But along with the biggest change would be the installation, where it used to be we had to install on top of MQ, and now it's just a part of MQ. Install. We're going to show you some of the screenshot later on. Migration tools. So now we can running a command MQ, for example, FTE migrate agent would transfer the agent from FTE to MFT. Changes to the configuration. Some of the configuration directories are has changes made. Installation property or logger property and so on. Some of the passwords now store under MQMFT. An XML file, so more improvement overall. Enhancement to the logger. It's also now save a text file. You know, before we used to connect to a database and, you know, ask if that kind of setup needs to be done, but now we just, a simple text file can be keep all the logging. Enhancement to security. Again, security is a big concern. So now it also supports the FIPS and TLF enable channel support. Further enhancement to user exit routines, enabling new function for GE Java Enterprise database logger. Further enhancement to working on a transfer. So dash QS parameter, for example, will split a file into a multiple message when we do use the FT create transfer command. And further agent diagnostic information, so we'll dash D will give us a little bit more information about when we run the FT show agent detail command. Okay, so let's go to slide number 9, please. So this is back when FTE was there. For example, if you had to set up on an MQ on a Windows, we have to provide all the information we just talked about, like a coordination queue manager, agent queue manager, et cetera, right on the GUI or on the other environment, we have to fill out the information. That's no longer the case. As you can see here, we have a coordination queue manager, agent queue manager, command queue manager, et cetera. All the information needs to be filled out, and we have to select what kind of setup you want to do. That's no longer the case, which is on MFT. So we'll show that the changes on slide number 10. Let's go to slide number 10, please. And here, as you can see, the standard install, and just we run the software requirements and other prereq. Everything looks good. We just click on MQ install. And let's go to slide number 11, please. So when we do that, here it's going to ask us to eventually install the base MQ as well as MFT or whatever other options we want to install. So we accept the license agreement. We can go to custom and provide the installation name. And we're going to be installing the data under opt MQM, just like a Unix environment, just easier for us to manage. So let's go to slide number 12, please. And further, you know, we just fill out the more information. And, for example, the data would be stored in the var MQM, log would be var MQM log. And this screen pops up. And as you can see, we have server. We can install the base MQ. Then we have different options, telemetry, AMS, advanced message security, and our file transfer, manage file transfer service, logger. So we just select one by one whatever we want to install, Windows client, and we just click on next. So let's go to slide number 13, please. So in this presentation, for example, we selected manage file transfer service, which has a, you know, the main component will has a, also has a option will also installing the manage file transfer logger. So it's a logger component and a manage file transfer agent component. and we just click on next. So let's go to slide number 14, please. And further, some of the tools, manage file transfer tools, so which is command line tools, and MQ Explorer, and we just click on install and just start install. Earlier on MQFD, the MQ Explorer has to be stopped and we install a new plugin. That's no longer the case anymore. So everything under one umbrella and everything installed right there for you. So let's go to slide number 15, please. So post-install for MQ setup, you just have to make sure that MQ is installed on the system along with the earlier noted MQ MFT component. And here we are using 7503. That's the latest spec. And if you need a further assistance in installing, there is a link provided. You can click on it, and it's going to take a step-by-step install. So here we have a queue manager for Windows install. It's called QM underscore win. And as you can see on a MQ Explorer screenshot, there is a QM win already installed, and different queues are defined and so on. Let's go to slide number 16, please. Okay, so this is an important slide. This is the topology we use in this WSTE, Azure Support Technical Exchange. Here, as you can see, there is a two boxes or two environments, Windows and Linux. On the left-hand side, there is a Windows agent that we will be creating later on this presentation. We just created QM underscore win queue manager. And we'll be also be creating a command queue manager later on. On the right-hand side, there is a two queue managers. One queue manager only is a coordination queue manager. It's called MFT underscore Linux, and also a standard agent queue manager called QM underscore Linux. And there's an agent underscore Linux, and then shown in the green here is a logger. We're going to be showing all of them in later on. And all of them, again, are communicated. Among them are sender-receiver channels. So let's go to slide number 17, please. So this is a very nice article which discusses all of this in detail, step-by-step instruction. So we're going to be here. You can click on the link, and you can see the PDF discussing about these topics. So further, for installation on a Linux, we need to have a similar kind of file set needs to be installed, such as MQ Series FT Agent, MQ Series FT Base, Logger, Service and Tool, and we just install those, or RPM install those file sets, and good to go. So let's go to slide number 18, please. So the important thing is it's necessary to have a full connectivity for sender and receiver. I just repeated earlier. So it's very important to have those connection up and alive and running in order to have the full setup working. The following is a fully connected queue managers are needed. So there is a set of three. The QM Win is a Windows agent. We'll be talking to MFT Linux. That's a coordination queue manager. Next, QM Win in a Windows agent will be talking to a Linux agent, QM underscore Linux queue manager. And further, MFT Linux, which is a coordination queue manager, will be talking to a QM Linux, a Linux queue manager. And again, all of this is shown here in this link. And I'm going to be showing in next few slides as well, where it shows only one of them, but it can be repeated for all the other queue managers. So let's go to slide number 19, please. Again, this is a note just for your reference. I'm not going to be going in detail, but as you can see, we can, on a Linux, we can create a queue manager, start the queue manager, create a define a listener. We can define a channel, a system admin server account where you can connect via MQ Explorer, and then we run a few more commands. If on 7.5, you usually get 2035 error code. So by running this, you may avoid that. And let's go to slide number 20, please. And further, again, that link will, we need to have a three-way communication sender-receiver channel. So that TechNode will be discussing on one of the setup, and that can be repeated. So further, we just created a queue local. We created a transmit queue. We defined a remote queue. We created a sender-receiver channel. And we provide all this information. We start the channels. And eventually, as you can see, a small screenshot. It's kind of a little bit hard to see. But there are on a sender receiver of four sets we just discussed on each of the queue manager are up and running. So that's how we do the setup, and we can move forward. Let's go to slide number 21, please. And I'm going to hand it over to Anil. Go ahead, Anil.
Thank you very much, Pranav. Hello, MQ fans. My name is Angel Rivera, and if you cannot roll your R's like Rivera, you can just say Angel Rivera, and that will be fine with me. And I will continue with this presentation. Now that my colleague Pranav gave you an introduction to the functions and benefits of MST, we will proceed to describe how to configure your systems to create the necessary players and to transfer a file from one host to another. Next slide, please. This is page 22. This is the part two, configuration steps. And this is the sequence of configuration steps that needs to be done in our test scenario. Step number one is we need to create the coordination queue manager. This is the central player, as shown in the previous slides. Without a coordination queue manager, it is not possible to configure the other objects, and we cannot do file transfers. Thus, it is the first object that needs to be configured. In our test scenario, the queue manager is called MST_Linux, and it is located in a Linux machine. Then, as a second step, we need to specify the queue manager, the coordination queue manager in Windows. And we have to tell in Windows, hey, this is our coordination queue manager, the one in Linux. Then the step number three is we need to create command queue managers. Step number four is to create agents, and number five is create the logger. And let's go to page number 23, please. Well, we have to log in as an MQ administrator into the Linux machine, and we have created already this queue manager, and we are going to issue some commands that will tell, hey, this queue manager will be our coordination queue manager. And we'll use this command, FTE setup coordination, and we have to specify the name, where is the host, the qualified name, and the port number, and what is the channel that we are going to use. Now, you may think about, why the command is not MST setup coordination? Well, for historical reasons, the product was standalone, was not integrated with MQ, and it was called MQ File Transfer Edition, and all the commands started with FTE, the initials of the product. In MQ 7.5, that product was included now with the base 7.5 of MQ, and a decision was made to keep the old command names instead of trying to rename them. In that way, we minimize the impact to our existing FTE customers. And let's go to the next page, please, page 24. And in this slide, we are mentioning that the configuration data for FTE is stored in MQ data path. That's an environment variable that includes what is the location of the MQ data. There is a subdirectory there that will be called MQFT. For example, in this slide we show what is the location in Unix. This is /var/MQM/MQFT. And in Windows, the default location will be under program files. By the way, if you're using Windows 7, it's really program files, parentheses, x86, IBM, WhisperMQ, /MQFT. Now, if you have configured Windows to have your data in another location, then that will be in that location that where you will find the subdirectory MQFT. Next slide, please. slide 25. This is what we call notes slide. Instead of having notes included in the PDF that you cannot print as part of Canopy speaker notes, we decided to have these visible slides. And they have a special format, and also the font is a little bit smaller. We are not going to talk everything in that these slides, and some slides actually we'll just skip. But once you get your PDF file, and at your convenience, you can read more information about it. Now, when you run the command FTE setup coordination, there are two effects that we are looking for. You will see that when the command finishes, it's going to display a bunch of these commands. And those commands actually will be stored in a text file. This is the contents of the text file. What you will see is that we are going to, the text file will include define topic system.fte, which is the main topic that will give you a hint that we are using PubSub, publish subscribe function, underneath the covers in order to tell the all the players about what things are going on. And there are a few more things that will be done. We create also name lists and et cetera. And at the bottom, you will see that there are two lines. One is to display a queue manager attribute called TS mode, and we are altering to be enabled. Again, we are going to use publish subscribe. Now let's go to the next page, please, page 26. I mentioned that there were two effects. The first one is a text file, and the other is that that command, the FTE setup coordination, will create additional directories and some files. The permissions for those directories will be under user ID MQM and group ID MQM. It means that only if you are the user MQM, you can modify these files. And this is important because if you log in as, for example, my user ID, Rivera. I log in as user Rivera, but I am an NQ administrator. I belong to the group. But then there will be some files that only the NQM user ID can modify. Then you have to be careful once you are, if you decide to modify some of these files later on for advanced features, that you have the proper user ID. Otherwise, you may not be able to modify those files. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 27. Now, there will be a coordination queue manager directory, and it will be under a subdirector called config and then the name of the coordination queue manager. And there will be a location for logs file. It will be just a directory called logs in the name of the coordination queue manager. There is an installation properties file, which we are not going to discuss too much here. And let's go to the next page, page 28, please. And there is a file that is important to know where it's located. It's called the coordination properties, and that's the full path in Unix at the top of this slide. And this is the contents. There are just four lines, and all of them begin with coordination queue manager. That's the name, where is the host, and the channel, and the port number. Sometimes you will, once you become familiar with the basic principles of the product and you want to do more things on maybe like SSL or additional advanced features, sometimes in the information center you will read that you need to modify the coordination properties file and add an attribute. Well, this is the file that you have to modify, and that's the location. Now, this is the file that was in the Linux machine, okay? In the next slides, we'll see that we have to do similar things in the Windows machine. Well, you will have to modify that also in the Windows machine. Then if you touch a file, the coordination properties in one machine, you will have to modify it also in the other machine for the advanced features to hold. Okay, page 29, please. Okay, then again, there were two effects that we're looking for. We wanted to create a text file with a bunch of MQ commands. And also we wanted to create directories and files. Okay, at this moment, just by running that FTE setup command, we have not run the text file that has the MQ command. Just that the file was created, we now need to run the command. Again, we'll have to log in as MQ administrator, and we have to do this particular command, run MQSC, and the name of the coordination queue manager, and then we redirect as input the code contents of the file that was created by that command. And just to give you a hint, the name of the suffix of the file is MQSC for MQ script that you can run MQSC. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 30. Okay. We have done this in Linux, okay? At this moment in the Windows machine, we have no knowledge where is the coordination queue manager. But we have to tell whatever we are going to run in Windows, hey, where to locate the coordination queue manager. And we need to run a command, and it's also the FTE setup coordination with the same attributes, exactly the same, that the queue manager is in Linux and all that stuff. And you say, well, I'm going to create another coordination queue manager. No, that's not the situation here. What we are doing is doing the setup. And again, there will be two effects. One, there will be a text file, and then what we are really looking forward in the Windows machine is the creation of those configuration directories and files. Let's go to page 31, please. Page 31. Okay. Then you may think, okay, now I have, after I run the FTE setup coordination in the Windows machine, I have this text file that contains all these queue manager commands. What should I do with them? Just ignore them. That's it. Very simple. Ignore it. Unfortunately, well, sometimes people try to say, well, maybe should I run it again, and they copy it into the Linux machine, and they try to run it. Is totally not necessary, okay? Because we have already done it when we were in Linux. And again, at this moment, we are just looking for the creation of the configuration directories and the files. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 32. Okay, now this is just from the point of view of what we get in the Linux machine after we run this. Again, as you can see, we created some configuration directories, logs directories. We have also coordination properties and the MQSC file, etc. The only file that really may be necessary later on to do is the coordination properties file. Again, just for advanced features. Next page, please. Page 33. Okay, now that we have created the coordination queue manager, and we have designated one in Linux, and we have customized the Windows machine to say, hey, point to the Linux machine whenever you need to talk to the coordination queue manager. Now we are ready to do what is called the command queue manager. And we issue the FTE setup command. And it's exactly the same, in a sense. The parameters are slightly different. They begin with connection queue manager instead of coordination queue manager. And we use a specify, well, I want to use this particular queue manager. It's called QM Linux instead of MFT Linux. And we have the host name and the port number and what is the channel that we want to use. Next page, please. And then page 34, by running this command, what we have done is we have now a new file called command properties. And it is under the location of the coordination queue manager. And as you can see, it is pointing to that second queue manager that we're looking for. Next page, please. Page 35. Okay, we have created the commands queue manager in Linux now. Page 35 shows you exactly the same command. It's slightly different for the commands queue manager in Windows. Instead of pointing to the FTP queue manager in Linux, we are pointing to the queue manager in Windows. And let's go to the next page, please. page 36, and this is there is a new file in the directories in Windows. It's called the Commandot Properties and contains information on the Queue Manager in Windows. Okay, next page, please. Page 37. Okay, at this moment we have three Queue Managers in the picture. We have, in the Windows machine, we have just something called a Command Queue Manager. And in the Linux machine, we have two Queue Managers. One is the Command Queue Manager and the other is the Coordination Queue Manager. Now, what we are going to do here in page 37 is to say, okay, in the Linux machine, I want to create an agent. The agent is really the one that has the brains in the product. Okay, the agent is, for example, let's suppose that you want to transfer a file that is 200 megabytes from one machine to another. And you say, okay, there is a maximum message length in MQ that you can have a message with a maximum of 100 megabytes. Wow. Then how do I transfer a 200 megabytes file through MQ that MQ has the limit of 100 megabytes? Well, we just break it into smaller segments. Okay? Then the agent has the brains to break that file of 200 megabytes into smaller segments that will be able to travel through the MQ queue managers. Okay? And then let's suppose that there will be 8 segments. And then the agent is the one that is going to break it, make a group and segments and all that stuff, sell them to the queue manager. The queue manager is receiving these messages and has no idea that these are part of the FTE. The queue managers are just happy sending the messages that are being provided by the agent. Okay? The receiving queue manager is just happy receiving those messages and has no idea that they are part of a file transfer. The agent in the other side says, it has the brains that will say, okay, I'm seeing that it has the proper mark, eye catchers and headers and so on. Oh, this is the first segment out of 8, and I need to reassemble this file, and eventually we'll reassemble that 200 megabyte file, okay? And the reason I wanted to explain this is because some customers think that the entire file is placed into as a message, but then they cannot explain how, with the limitation of 100 megabytes, how we are transferring something, and they think that there is a limit on the file size, and there is no limit because NQ, the agent, is going to break in segments. However, you have a limit basically with the system resources that you have. For example, let's suppose that you have a temp space that is only 1 gig, okay? Then if you try to send a 2 gigabyte file from one machine to another, well, there is no place where to reassemble. Then, therefore, it's going to fail. But that's not a limitation from NQ and nor from the agents. It's a limitation of the system resources that you have. Okay? Okay. Now, let's go back to page 37. Okay? Now that we need to create an agent, again, the brains. And what we are going to do is run a script, and we are going to do something. During the setup, we provided two commands that you can do in order for the NQ administrator to be able to do a remote access. And this is to avoid the MQ not authorized error that is 2035. Okay? Right now, we wanted to keep this presentation as simple as possible and to avoid getting into the authorization issues by non-NQ administrators and so on. We decided, okay, let's do all these examples using the NQ administrator, but we have the problem with the 2035 not authorized thing. Then that's the reason we wanted to kind of solve it by saying, okay, you can run those two commands during the creation of the queue manager. In that way, the NQ administrator will not have a problem. Okay, let's go to the next page, please, page 38. Okay, this is how we create an agent, FTE create agent. We provide the name. What is the queue manager that the agent is going to talk to? In this case, is the queue manager in Linux. And again, we provide what is the host, the port, and the channel. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 39. And what we have is, again, there will be two side effects. One is there will be additional directories and files that are created, and we have now two files. One is a create NQSC command, file command, that we can do to create the agent, and a corresponding one to delete it. Okay? It is not just enough to delete the configuration directories, because you have to undo some of the things in the queue manager related to the agent, okay? And then, at the bottom of this slide 39, I'm showing you the complete path name for the NQSC command that you have to run as MQ administrator in the Linux machine in order to create the agent. Next page, please. Page 40. Page 40, okay, the top paragraph indicates, okay, this is the command you have to do in order to delete the agent, okay, and then you will see a file called agent properties file, and it has these attributes. The reason I wanted to show you where are these files, the agent properties and coordination properties and so on, is, again, there are some advanced features that the customization is done directly into the files. There is no GUI stuff there. There is nothing in running QC. You have to actually modify these files, and this is where you find the files. Next page, please. Page 41. Okay, now that we have that file that will create the agent, we just have to run it. Okay, that's the second step. First, we have to do the FTE setup agent. We get the NQSC file, and we run it, okay? Again, the FTE create agent does not modify the queue manager. It just creates the file, and you as an NQ administrator, you have to take the manual step to do it. And here it is in page 41. Let's go to the next page, please, page 42. And we have to repeat the same thing for Windows, again, because we need to have two agents. We have an agent in Linux that the previous two slides showed you how to do. And then this slide and the next will show you how to create the corresponding agent in Windows. And again, we just said FTE create agent, provide the name, which is the queue manager that we need, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go to page 43, please. Okay, and page 43. Okay, again, by running that previous command, the FTE create agent, again, there are two things. We create a file that we have to run, and we create additional configuration directories and files. And step number two is we have to run that commands file towards the agent. Sorry, against the queue manager that is associated with the agent. In this case, we are in the Windows machine. We have to do the run NQSC and qwin and provide entire path. Okay, let's go to the next page, please. Page 44. Okay. There is one player that we need to create in order to have our complete set of players, and it's called the logger. In previous versions, when the product was called FTE, the only logger that you could create was a database logger, which meant that you needed to have a database, and you needed to know how to use the database and so on. And some people say, listen, my needs for auditing, I mean, the database is very powerful. You can do a bunch of queries, and you can automate and all that stuff. However, but for people who just were beginning with FTE, that step of the database was more complexity that many people wanted to handle. Then one of the things that they asked as a requirement was to provide a plain text logger that doesn't interact with a database. And we are showing you, strictly speaking, there was no need for us to create a logger for this scenario, but we wanted to show you how you could create this plain logger. This logger is going to be a file. It's a text file. It's not binary. It's text file. And it's going to be linear. And the file size is going to be 5 megabytes. And that's the definition at the bottom of this line. Okay? It's going to be associated to the coordination queue manager. It's going to be a text file. It's linear. And it's going to be 5 megabytes. Let's go to the next page, please. 45. Okay, and similarly with the creation of an agent, we need to run some commands in order for the coordination queue manager to know that there is a logger, okay? And also by doing that creation, there will be some additional configuration directories and a properties file. Let's go to the next page, please, page 46. Okay. These are the additional directories and files that are created when the logger is available now. Let's go to page 47. Okay. Okay, now we have all the players. Let's start. Yes. Okay. Now we just start the FTE, start logger. Okay. And we provide a logger name, and we get two messages. It says, okay, it has been submitted. And the second is, the logs where you will find the progress or errors or something is that long path name shown at the bottom. And that's it. You will not see any more messages here in the command prompt. Then in case there are some errors or something, you have to go into that directory and then just take a look at the logs. Okay? Let's go to the next page, page 48. Similarly, we start the agent in Windows and we'll start the agent in Linux. Again, what we do is start the agent. It's like, hey, start your engines, run, run, run. Okay, we start the agent, and this is the bottom line. It says here the agent log files are located in this path. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, let's suppose that you're curious to see, okay, later on, in just in case the agent doesn't work well, whatever, exactly where do I find? Because if you go to that directory you mentioned at the bottom of the slide, you will see several files. Okay, which one is the one that really makes sense to look at first? It is called the output 0.log. That's the important one. Then if we, by looking at the bottom of that file, we'll see that it says the agent has successfully initialized and then it has successfully started. In case that there were some errors, maybe a mistake in the agent properties file or something, most likely you will get the errors right there. Okay? Next page, please. Page 50. And the same thing in Linux. We have started the agent in Windows. Let's start the agent in Linux. Next page, please. Same behavior. Okay, now we have the agent in Windows and agent in Linux. And you don't have to do the following slides every time, but as part of the exercise of this scenario, we wanted to give you some additional hints in case of troubleshooting, okay? At this moment, when we were actually running the scenario for the first time, we thought that agents were up and running. We didn't see any problems at all, okay? And we decided, okay, let's do a file transfer, and that failed. And we were spending some time finding out whatever, and eventually we read, hey, you have to do the ping agent. Oh, let's do that, okay? Then we ran the FTE ping agent, and it could be a little bit confusing at the when you read instructions about how to run this. The ping is just like a ping in the command prompt, okay? Just ping a host. But here you have to provide two things, and those two things need to be associated to each other. For example, you are going to ping an agent that is called agent Windows, which is associated to the queue manager win, okay? That will work. But if you try to ping the agent Linux and you specify the queue manager Windows, well, we didn't define those things, and it will not work. And then you may get confused, and it's better just to say, okay, I created my agent in Windows, and it's talking to the queue manager in Windows. Well, I have to provide those two things. The second line, the second command in this slide shows you that is the queue manager in Linux with the agent in Linux. And in this case, you can see that the pings were successful, and they were relatively fast, less than a second, okay? Next page, please. Page 52. Okay, we'll do the correspondence thing from Linux. Okay, right now everything is pinging very nicely. Let's go to the next page, please. And this is where I think we are doing really a nice value added into this presentation, because our file transfer were not working at this moment. The pings were working. Then we knew that things were more or less, they were connected, okay? But when we were doing the FTE list agents commands, we were getting something called no agents exist that match the current selection criteria. Huh? What is this? Okay. Well, fortunately, the Information Center has a very, very good section on troubleshooting, and just follow the instructions. What to do if your agent is not listed by the FTE list agents command. It's a very comprehensive section. Okay? Again, before you do your first file transfer, run the FTE list agents command. It will save you time later on. Let's go to page 54, please. Okay. Now, we were able to get something from the FTE list agents. Yeah, okay. But, hey, look, the second line says status unreachable. What is this? Well, fortunately, the Information Center has very good information and steps how you can fix to have it, to fix this problem. Okay, that's very nice. Really, this section is very well done. Let's go to page 55, please. Okay, we followed advice in that web page and Info Center. Now we have ready. It means that when we do the FTE list agents, both agents are ready to go. Super. Now we can proceed with a file transfer, okay? And believe me, if you follow these steps for your first file transfer, you can save a lot of aggravation. Let's go to page number 56, please. Okay. Now, there are several ways to do the a file transfer. The wizards in the MQ Explorer are very nice, and we suggest for you to explore them, okay? In the left navigation panel, if you go all the way to the bottom, you will see a new folder called Manage File Transfer. Expand it, and you will see for each coordination queue manager that is known, you will have an entry there. Then, in this case, we have only one coordination queue manager. We'll expand it, and let's go to page 57, please. And in page 57, here, that's the picture of where you will find in the MQ Explorer, again, Manage File Transfer, the coordination. You have to do right-click and then do Connect. Because at this moment, if you try to expand it, there is nothing to expand because the MQ Explorer has not connected with the coordination queue manager. By doing the Connect, it will be connected. Let's go to the next page, please, 58. And now it will be expanded. You will see new subfolders, agents, monitors, pending transfers, transfer log, etc. Okay? And then in the right side, you will see the agents, and you see now underneath the covers, MQ Explorer, the FTE list agents. And now we have the two agents are ready. Yes! Okay, let's go to page 59. Okay, this is the first test. Oh, yeah. We are going to do a transfer of a text file. Why? Because we want to do a conversion of character, a character conversion from one code page to another. If we do binary, there is no conversion, and we wanted to show you the additional step, okay? This text file is located in the Windows box, and the whole full path name is ctemp-mft-test-file.txt, okay, 61 bytes. Okay, let's go to the next page, 59. Page 60, sorry. Yes. Okay. And now we are ready to do the transfer. We select the coordination queue manager, right-click, and then new transfer. Let's go to the next page, please, 61. And then we select that, we want the source agent, which is the Windows. The destination is the Linux. Let's go to the next page, please, 62. And this is a little bit confusing, okay, because you say, okay, what is this add? And begin adding items to the transfer. Why not just add files to the transfer or something? Well, anyway, right now, nothing will be transferred because we have not selected the files to transfer. You can select several files, but let's have only one. Then we click add. Let's go to the next page, please. And that will be page 63. And we'll see a wide dialogue, okay? There are two sections, and just for the simplicity, I'm going to describe the left section first, and in the next slide, the right section. Okay, in the left section is the sender, the source, okay? And I selected the radio button for text transfer, and eventually selected that I want to do the file name is temp mft test file.txt. Okay, good. And then let's go to the next page, page 64. Okay, the right side is the destination, and there is a picture in slide 67, but let's stay here in 64. Okay, when you enter the name of the file at the destination, it's just text.file.txt. And say, well, where is it going to be located really? Well, the agent in Unix, and the agents use relative paths. Therefore, the top portion is the home. Then, in my case, for example, I started the agent as user Rivera. The home directory is /home/Rivera. Therefore, if I just specify the name of the file without full directory path, the file will be located /home/Rivera/testfile.txt. Okay? Let's go to page 65, please. Okay. Now that we want to, you selected, I selected also the option of overwrite files if present. Why? Well, I wanted to do the transfer several times. And I know this is not the usual way to do it, but I just wanted to experiment. And one way for me to say, okay, how do I know that the transfer actually worked? Well, if this is 12:03 p.m., if I do a file transfer, the file stamp of the receiving file will be 12:03 p.m. If I wait 2 minutes, it will be 12:05. If I do another file transfer, because I say overwrite files if present, the destination file will have a timestamp that will be 12:05. Then it will be easier for me just to see, okay, let me take a look at the timestamp of the receiver file. Hey, is this a newer timestamp? Yes? Okay. Then it means that it worked. Okay? Again, I want to just to give you some hints on how you can kind of improve your testing in a sense. To say, okay, I'll do several variations in my file transfer. You can keep using the same file, but if you use this overwrite files if present, then you will have a better idea that, hey, the transfer went fine. Let's go to the next page, please, 66. Okay, and after we finish all those dialogues, now instead of being an empty list, now we have a list with one item. And there are several other prompts, and we'll just skip them, and we'll go all the way to the summary. Page 67, please. Now, in the summary, there will be a section which is really nice, and I really wanted to let you know about this. Now, if you want to do file transfers, the first few are fun to use the wizard. But if you are going to do 100, it's not fun to click all those buttons. What it would be nice is, hey, the 100 files that I want to run have these characteristics and so on. What you would like to see maybe is create a batch file or something. There are some things called monitors in FTE, but that's an advanced topic. I don't want to deal with them right now. And say, okay, if you create a batch file with the file transfer commands, what are the options that I need to use? Well, that's the nice thing about this wizard. In this summary section, you will see that what is the command? In this case, literally, that was the command that I got. FTE create transfer from this agent to the Windows to the agent in Linux, and it's a text file. I wanted to overwrite. This is the destination file, and there is no attribute to indicate the source file, okay, which is a little bit confusing for me. It was, okay. I was looking for a source attribute, but there is no source attribute. Okay, then I have that command. Let's go to page 68, please. I copy that command. I store it in a six file, and okay, that was the transfer summary. Let's go to the next page, page 69. Okay, that, I say finish, and then the file transfer took place. It was very fast. It's only 61 bytes, okay? Then in order to see this stuff, you have to go to the right panel of the MQ Explorer, go below to the bottom, and you will see a tab called Manage File Transfer Current Transfer Progress. And in this case, as you can see, the last entry at the bottom says successful. Yeah, okay, we had a file transfer. But is it? I mean, question authority. Let's go to page number 70. And page 70, okay, then I wanted to also, by the way, at the top, you will see in the transfer log, you will see that, hey, from this agent to this other agent, there was a transfer that was successful. And there will be more information. You can double-click, and you will see more information. Okay, and let's go to the Unix machine. And by doing an ls minus l, I can see that, okay, we got the file, okay? And use test file.txt with a new timestamp. Well, actually, sorry, that file stamp, I didn't get it right. Okay. It was from a previous attempt. Anyway, let's go to page 71. I'm embarrassed now. Sorry. Okay, this page 71. Okay. We did the transfer through the MQ Explorer, but now I told you, hey, in the summary page there was the FTE create transfer command. Well, actually, I just run it again. Okay. And it says, okay, transfer request issued, the request ID is a huge name, and then the request is now waiting to be processed by the agent. Let's go to page 72. Okay, then if we go back to the MQ Explorer, we'll see that, hey, now we have a second line, and it was successful too, and it has a different timestamp. Then let's go to the next page, please, which indicates, hey, the first one, it was done through the MQ Explorer. The second was just normal. And now we see what we want to see is, okay, we have a logger, okay, that is keeping tab of what all the transfers. One problem with MQ Explorer is that the transfer log that you see in that MQ Explorer has a limited capability. Then if you are transferring 500 files, you will not see probably those 500 files there. Then that's the reason you want to have the logger to say, okay, let me find out where is the log file that is created by the logger, and then I can take a look at the log file. Then let's go to page 74. 73 had the information of the directory. 74 has the contents. Now, because we did two file transfers, we have two set of entries, okay? You will not have just one entry, one line. You will see several lines, and that's the reason I wanted to take a little bit of time to explain you how to interpret the data, okay? In this case, I'd say, okay, there will be three parts for each set, okay? The first, this is the one that we did using the MQ Explorer, okay? Then in blue, these are just my comments. These are not things that you are going to see in the logger. Then the first physical line, you'll say, okay, you will see that the file logger has successfully started. Good. The second line will be a timestamp with a number, and then brackets, T-S-T-R, T, and brackets. Those are tokens that I explained in two slides from now that indicate that this is transaction started. Then if you see that, okay, the transfer is started. And you can see that it was from this agent, Windows, to the Linux agent, and all that stuff. Okay. And it's just that the transfer is started. Let's go to page 75, please. Okay. And we have just two or three slides to go, and that's it. Okay. Now, this is the second part. The second part it has another timestamp and blah, 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 blah. And eventually you will see this square bracket that says T Pro and end of brackets, which means transfer progress. And it's just to tell you that this is happening. Okay? Now, the part three, which is the last part, again, you will see a timestamp and blah, 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 square bracket TCOM, square bracket. The TCOM means transfer complete. Let's go to page 76, please. And here is just the information from the web information center about what is the summary of the supported message types that you see. We see the transfer started, maybe there is a cancel, or deleted. Again, we covered the complete and the progress. Let's go to the next page, please, 77. Okay, and this is the end of the presentation, and I would like to return the control back to Kathy. Thank you for your patience. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel and Pernell, for a great presentation.
We do have one question if you wanted to take that from the phone line. Okay, our first question comes from Vicky. It says your line is open.
Yeah, when I want to configure the agent on the client machine, like I just want to install the FTE client, not the server, not the MQ server, how I can configure the client, just the client?
Angel, you want to take over?
Okay. Yes. You don't need to have a queue manager in the box where you have an agent. Okay. The important thing is you have to do the FTE setup, create agent, and you have to specify where is the queue manager that you want to contact, where is located. Then it is going to use the channel, like assistant admin server con and so on, in order to contact that queue manager. And you will need to download, the client stuff is not downloadable from the client portion of the MFT. It is not part of the MQ client download. Okay, it's a little bit confusing here. We have some support packs in which when you, they're called client support packs. If you download it, you will get the MQ client functionality, but MFT is not included there. Okay. The MFT client is included only with the server content. And you will have to copy those files into the machine where you want the agent to be created, and you have to run it. If you are using Windows, you have to download also the tools.
So you mean I just have to copy the directory structure from the server to the client machine?
For the, not the directory structure. You have to download and install some components for MFT.
Okay.
And once you have it installed, you will have now the FTE, create agent, and so on,
okay,
those commands in your machine. You have to run those commands.
Okay, so you mean I just have to install some of the part of the installation?
Correct. You will have to copy those file sets from the server location into the machine where you want the MFT client to be located. Again, we don't have a support pack that has only the MFT client portion. You have to get those file sets from the server download. Okay, thank you.
Anil and Pranav, is there any questions in the chat room that we need to address?
Pranav, could you mention something about the queue managers in the cluster?
Yeah, they're asking can they use MQ cluster instead of sending, you know, creating separate sender-receiver channels. And, yes, it can be accomplished. I provide the link in the presentation. So you don't necessarily have to have, like, maybe we have to create a six sender-receiver on each. We can set up a cluster, and we can define a coordination queue manager, agent queue manager, and all of them within the cluster, and that can be accomplished. There is a link in the info center discussing about that. So it will be a standard MQ cluster underneath where the communication, basically the overall goal should be the communication among the queue manager has to occur. And it can be easily accomplished using a clustering, yes.
I would like to add something about the impact of using clusters. The MFT uses publish subscribe. It means that you can publish something in one QManager in the cluster, and then there could be subscribers in other QManagers in different parts of the cluster. If you have a cluster that is a small or medium size, there is not really too much performance impact in using PubSub in the cluster, especially if you have not already using PubSub in the cluster. Then the thing is, if you want to use clustering with MST, you have to take in consideration that it's potentially you may have an impact if you have a very large cluster, because once you start doing PubSub, every QManager will be connected to every other QManager in the cluster. Because not because of the file transfer features, but because of the underlying PubSub that is forcing all the connections between the QManagers to all the other QManagers in the cluster. There is an impact.
Very good point, Anthony. Thank you. I think the one more person is asking, in fact, I was just typing up, they wanted to see if we can uninstall, I think Susan was their last one, safe to uninstall MQ while running MQFT agent. I mean, to do any uninstall when you have a production running, there could be some impact in internal code. But if there is, you happen to uninstall MQ, so yeah, if there is a, you happen to uninstall MQ agent QManager, then the service will be impacted. So it depends how the setup is configured. It's always a Anil, you want to add something? Uninstall. Yeah.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. So it's always to be safe when we do any kind of install.
Excuse me, we do have another question from the phone line.
Yes.
Coming from Vicky, your line is open.
Yeah, hi. My question is, when we create transfer, initially, the status of the agent will be ready, and when transfer is started, the status will be active. Once transfer is complete, status of the agent is still active, and we are not able to start new transfer.
Okay.
That's the time, so that the agent will go back to ready status quickly.
Eventually, it has to go back to ready status, because that's when you can start a new transfer. If the file is not very long and still you are not seeing that it's going back to ready, I would suggest if you can send us an email or open a PMR, and then we can proceed more with troubleshooting and help you there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Karen, are there any more calls?
No more calls at this time.
So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. Thank you, Anhel and Pernell, for doing a great job.
Thank you very much.